if you would just introduce yourself to say your name and whatever affiliation you want to give or how long you've been in the neighborhood, however you want to introduce yourself that way.
Oh, okay. My name is Elizabeth N. Gore. I have been in this neighborhood now over 50-something years. I work you heard me in the beginning, I work with the Community Development Corporation, which is known as the Martindale Brightwood CDC. I work with the One Voice, which is a neighborhood organization that encompasses all four of our neighborhoods. We have a neighborhood called Hillside, Oak Hill, it's called Brightwood, and we have a Ralston Estates. I have worked with this coalition that I've been talking about and am so passionate about making sure that our neighborhood stays clean of any environmental concerns, which is called the Martindale Brightwood Environmental Justice Collaborative. And I know there are several other community groups that I've worked with, but I've been here and trying to be a strong advocate to work to make Martindale Brightwood the kind of place that I enjoy living in and would like to have other people live here as well.
Okay, so we've got the full disclosure of recording. Terrific. So, as you know, my name's Liz Kreider Reed, and we are talking here on March 7th via Teams audio. Glad we could connect. And if it's okay with you, I am just going to ask you a few questions and invite you to respond with the idea that this recording will be part of a public digital archives of stories from people across the city, and that it will also inform the exhibit that we are curating that will be at some indie park sites this coming summer and hopefully beyond. So I just want to open up and invite you to speak to your experience of working with environmental advocacy and experiences of environmental harm in Indianapolis.
I can speak only at this point, I've been working very closely with Martindale Brightwood Environmental Justice Collaborative, knowing that in our particular area, the environment has been a real concern based on lead in our soil. Having a real concern with people who live here and who I've worked with, whose families have really been ill and some have died from chemicals that they were possibly not aware of because they did gardening and planting flowers and kind of thing. And what we found was there was a history of family members with kidney cancer or brain cancer or things like that, that they were really not able to kind of connect until we began to talk about soil and being an older neighborhood here, Martindale Brightwood. Most of the families did their own gardening and planting flowers in the yard, that kind of thing. And so that's kind of what my concern has been here in this area of Martindale Brightwood.
Great, thank you. Can you say a little bit more about the Martindale Brightwood Environmental Justice Collaborative and your work in that space?
We have been formed for several years. Our basic interest began when a church here in the neighborhood tried to build a youth center, and they were not able to do it because when they were not able to get a permit, because when they began to dig in the soil, the city would not from it because they found lead. And that was kind of our first real advocacy in knowing, oh, there's something going on. And so we began to advocate for the city to come and remediate not only that area, but other areas that we found. There was a company here named Ertl, who for years had been gone, but down underneath the ground, they had buried some tanks or so that had contaminated soil in it. And we were beginning to get a smell in the neighborhood from that, not really realizing what was going on. So in the meantime, the city did come out, looked at that area, and found that there were some environmental concerns there. So since then, the city has appropriated money and been able to clean that area up, and now there is a new company that is utilizing that soil. So we began in 2008, and we formed a coalition made up of neighborhood people. At that time, I was the president of the board of the Martindale Community Development Corporation, and that kind of worked hand in hand with it being the umbrella group for this committee, because they were also trying to build houses and to help people to rehabilitate their homes. So we meet and have met once monthly, usually. We did a lot of training with our people. We were able to get a CARE grant, which helped us to do the training and make people aware that digging in the soil was nothing that they needed to do unless the soil was tested. So in the training, we learned to do flower beds made in boxes, beds for flowers, and to do box gardening. So there has been some extensive training. We've also advocate for housing, for land use. We're very concerned about any industrial plants coming into this neighborhood. And especially their proximity to our homes in this community.
Awesome. As I said, I heard about your work, and it's been so impressive. One of the things that I was hoping you'd share is, what is it that you would want people to know about your neighborhood, about Martindale-Brightwood?
I wanted to know that this is an African-American neighborhood. However, as time is going on and as we have begun to change, a lot of gentrification is coming into the neighborhood, and that's fine. We want everybody here to be safe, but in the beginning, we were trying to make sure that this neighborhood had a quality of life and that the people here would be noticed with all of our concerns. So we have advocated to the EPA, IDEM, the city, the city officials, whatever we can to help make a difference there. We know that some of the children in this area have tested high for lead, and that is something we will not continue to tolerate, only because lead is something that's irreversible. A lot of children have had learning disabilities, and we are really concerned about that. So we're still doing that kind of work with testing some of our children in the schools for lead, that kind of thing. So if that's kind of what you're looking for, is kind of what we're doing. We know that not only is there lead, we know that a lot of paint in some of the older homes had lead, and the children and people come in contact with that.
You've talked a little bit about this already, but can you say a little bit more about what has changed through this experience, either about the place, about your neighborhood, or about you, or about the other people who've been involved in this EJ Collaborative?
A lot of things have changed. We've contacted the Board of Health and they've picked up. We also were interested in heavy trash or that kind of thing. So, when any kind of tires or anything, we've noticed that. For lead in houses or air, there have been some carbon sustainability kits left in different areas, some in our Brightwood Library, for people to pick up to do testing in their own homes. We advocate EPA has cleaned up areas where companies left chemicals and were either still in the building or in the soil. Advocate with item. We have no limits of the people that we will contact. They are now working on and have worked on in the area where most of our problems came from, which was American lead that left a lot of chemicals in the soil when they left several years ago, which came up through the water drains and has caused problems. So we are still, working with them. We do heavy trash pickup. We have cleanups in our community. We plant trees to absorb the pollutants. So those are some of the things through this committee for now going on, what, 15, 16 years that we are still working on and still advocating for.
So impressive. What changes would you like to see going forward? How would you like this to be different in the future?
Well, anything different in the future for us would be that there would be no problems at all as far as lead in the soil. But what we're advocating for now is that anyone that comes into our neighborhood to build houses or to build or to open up a business, that there is some disclosure from the city or their real estate agent that there could be the possibility of some contamination, either lead or whatever, in the soil. And remember, we're Martindale Brightwood. We're also very close to the highway, and so we get emissions from the cars and things that are on the highway. So we are a full circle collaborative dealing with all of the environmental concerns. What we'd like to see in this community, being most African American, is that money is continually appropriated for us to be able to get the services that we need. Some of our children who may test high for lead, if there are at some point where they might need some help psychologically or mentally or health-wise, that money could be appropriated for that. Also, that money continues to be appropriated to clean up the area in the Martindale Brightwood. We did remediation on some homes, dug up the soil and brought. Had new soil brought in to cover up or to fill in for the places where there was soil that we found was very heavily populated with lead. So my hope is that these things that we've advocated for several years not only are being done, but they are continually going on. We know that there's pipes in the ground where water comes through, and right now Citizens Energy is doing some lead pipe changes in the community, which is very helpful. Money has been appropriated for that. So what we're looking for is for the city and the agencies that work in the city with the environment that they not forget Martindale Brightwood, and that we continue to be a force to make sure that people don't forget Martindale Brightwood by working with the Martindale Brightwood Environmental Justice Collaborative.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much. Well, my last question, I know that's been the, you know, your own neighborhood and the place you've been such an advocate for. But I'm just curious to know if you have any observations sort of as a citywide issue, Indianapolis's history of pollution and contamination. Any observations you want to make on that kind of broader story of our city's toxic heritage?
Because I guess I have been more or less in this particular area, but reading and observing other areas, I know that the environmental problem that we have is not just here. I understand that there is trash or heavy trash in a lot of areas. I understand brownfields are a problem in a lot of areas. And so those are the kinds of things that I would like to see eradicated, so that I know when you clean up brownfields, it gives you an opportunity to build homes and to give people places to live. I also know that when trash or other environmental substances that are negative are let loose into our air, that it causes a lot of people health problems. So I'm fully aware that this isn't the only area that has that problem, but I am kind of looking to the fact that the city hopefully is aware of that and working on that for all people in this city.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we, it's been really inspiring, the incredible advocacy and passion that individuals have brought in their own neighborhoods. And part of our hope for this project, both the archive and the exhibit, is that we help to connect those dots, the people working on different particular issues in particular places across the city, to see the kind of broader landscape of the policies and the structural and systemic issues, as well as to give it a history to understand how this is not just a contemporary problem, but that one is one that's deeply rooted in the history of the city as well. So any thoughts on just that kind of sense of the time depth, the history of environmental harm and of advocacy in your experience?
The only experience that I have, and it's continuing, I went to was a Indianapolis Public School Board member, as well as a president of the school board for a year. And knowing that a lot of children have learning disabilities, and that all of it isn't things that they tried to attribute to giving medicine to and pills to because they feel the children have some type of medical problem. A lot of it comes from lead. A lot of it is something that I wish that, and I'm still just kind of staying here, but that before mothers even have their children delivered, that there's some way they could test them to be sure that their bodies aren't have any contamination or any lead or anything in it, so that our children would not be affected with any lead contamination when they're born. So that's why we're so inanimate at this point about checking children in daycares and that kind of thing, to be sure that they get a good start on life, and especially one with their education.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we know some of the histories of public schools being located in places that were previously industrial sites and things like that elsewhere across the country. So that's an important thing to keep in mind.
And now even trying to do long research on, does this have anything to do with the violence that might be going on? You know, where was that child born? What kind of environment was he born in, as far as not just in the home, but outside? Did he play on a playground that may have not been cleaned up at that point, you know, environment? Maybe it didn't get remediated. So he may have some lead in the brain or something. So I think there needs to be more research into this kind of thing of the environment.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you'd like to share that would help people understand your experience of living with environmental harm, as well as your work in this environmental justice efforts?
I don't think so. I think I've kind of shared most of what I really am concerned about and the kinds of things that we are still working on. We still have meetings once every other month. Right now, we're collaborating and meeting with a group that works with land use, which is one of the things that we had worked so diligently with to make sure that anybody or any companies that come into our community are ones in which we feel will bring something positive as far as the environment, not trucks that, you know, emit oil into the soil or those kinds of things. So, no, I think being vigilant, keeping our watch on what we have in the community and who is living, you know, or who's building or who is working as far as industrial plants or anything close to homes, is something that we're keeping a close vigil on. And that's still a problem. It's still a concern.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your perseverance in figuring out the technology and the connection. And I will be in touch by email to get your address to mail you the form to sign.
Okay.